Blog Talk Radio.
And I know that was because of God's protection. Only one flower pot toppled over. But when I look around at all the floods and all the fallen trees and everything else that was happening, I just give gratitude and praise to God for protecting my neighbors, myself, and other people in all the parts, all the different states that came through with flying colors. So again, today is another day to give thanks and praise. I want to, before I go into today's segment and welcome my honored guests, I want to share one of my favorite quotes with you. And I think that this is a quote that you can really put in your toolkit and refer to it ever so often as the need may arise. And it reads, "He presents me with what is always an acceptable gift, who brings me news of great thought before unknown. He enriches me without impoverishing himself." And this is a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we sit around and we decide we are going to settle for different reasons. But this is a quote that supports our right to claim all that is ours, knowing that our Heavenly Father is not experiencing recession or any lack. There is more than enough, and each and every one of us needs to claim what is rightfully ours and do not exit without using up everything that's meant for us to have. As usual, the chat room is open. The phone lines are also open. The telephone number to call is 646 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I want you to encourage everyone you know to join us this morning. I don't want anyone to jeopardize their jobs, but I want you to call in if you can and just have questions for my honored guest. Because, you know, what she's doing, a lot of us have reasons to do that, but because of the struggles that we may encounter, we decide to lay dormant and keep quiet. But I'm hoping that after today's conversation, you will find strength in understanding the reasons why we ought to carry on the legacies that was started for us. I also want to remind and encourage you to please save the date for March the 23rd through the 27th for the Vision Weekend Conference 2012, which will be taking place in New York City. The conference is designed to help you shape your vision for greater success. It is also created to give you the support to really connect to what your calling and purpose in life is. And the wonderful thing about it is designed to support you not to go it alone and not to be reinventing the wheel always, because there are people out there who have done it and who are still doing it and doing it very well. And for that reason, this is why we need to tap into all the resources around us so we will not get burnt out. So I look forward for your support in the conference coming up. And we are working on the website to do the launch in a couple of weeks. So just support us. Visit our fan page, the Vision Weekend Conference on Facebook. And just support us in every way that you can. And now, without any further delay, I want to welcome live my honored guest, Mrs. Aaliyah Bundles, who has been hanging out in the virtual green room with me. Mrs. Bundles, good morning and welcome to today's segment of the A New Day Show.
Well, good morning. It's a delight and a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I am so honored that you see it fit to carve time out of your busy schedule to not only be in conversation with me, but also to invest in the lives of my listeners. Because I know that the journey that you are on, there are many people around the world who has a cause to do the same thing. And as I was saying at the top of the hour, that many people lay dormant without doing anything. So just let's just pray and hope that after our conversation today, we would ignite some excitement in a few people who will take up the baton for a cause that they need to carry on. So I want to give you an opportunity to just share a portion of the richness of who you are, your beginnings, and you spend 30 plus years as a journalist. Please just set the platform for my listeners.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm always delighted to be able to speak with someone like you who's accomplished so much and who influences so many other people with your message and with your motivation, because much of what I do now is talk about my great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker, who, as many of your listeners know, was an early 20th century entrepreneur, a pioneer of the modern hair care industry, but also many other things that people don't know as well, and that is that she was a patron of the arts, a philanthropist, a political activist, a person who organized women for their empowerment. And I'm fortunate to have grown up in the family of Madam Walker. Four generations of women in my family were involved with the business. Both of my parents were in the hair care industry. And my passion was writing. And so, as you say, I did have this 30-year career as an executive and a producer with NBC News and ABC News, and lived in many cities and had a chance to travel to many countries. But I also always had in the, you know, back of my mind that I wanted to really write the first comprehensive biography of Madam Walker. And I have now written a young adult biography of her and the first really comprehensive book about her on her own ground. And I'm finding that the story still motivates people. And, of course, that's a great thrill to me.
Yes. It's wonderful because, you know, there are so many people out there who have stories to be told. Stories of themselves or stories of ancestors and all of that. And for whatever reason, they just cannot get the courage to begin. For those who are out there who are listening and says, I have an uncle, I have a great-great-great aunt, I have a grandmother. How do they begin, Mrs. Bundles?
There are so many ways to start this story. And actually, it's much easier now than it was even 5 or 10 years ago because of things like Ancestry.com and because of social media. So, you know, one of the things that I do like to tell people, you know, they say, well, you know, you have a famous relative, and so that makes your job easier. But the truth is, of course, Madam C.J. Walker, who was born Sarah Breedlove in 1867, was a poor washerwoman for the first 38 years of her life. So there is not a lot of documentation. There is some, and I did dig and I did find it. I found things that were never even mentioned in her, you know, official biography. But you have to dig. But I would say that with things like Ancestry.com, when you get really serious about doing the research, it's worth it to pay for that annual membership or maybe pool with a couple of relatives to pay for that membership, because you can find people's you know, birth certificates, their death certificates, them in the census, their arrival in the United States, and you really, and what their occupation was. There are all kinds of amazing documents, and you really can piece together people's lives. There are numbers of stories that I'm sure you've heard and others have heard of people discovering relatives on Facebook. Sometimes relatives you don't want to discover, but
that's right. But they are relatives.
Right. But many times, one of my friends recently just mentioned that she had connected with a branch of her mother's family who she had only known a little bit about. So there are lots of ways, but it's then telling the story, and I think that's where people get a little hung up because they think, well, I'm not a writer, and so I don't really know how to tell a story. But I would just recommend you can join a small group in your bookstore or your local library. There are a lot of genealogy groups, and people start off short. You know, they do a little one-page story that does a little profile of a grandmother. And interview everybody in your family. But there are these amazing stories. I mean, I know that you are from Jamaica originally. Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend, Beverly East, who is also originally from Jamaica. She's a writer, and she recently wrote a novel based on that train accident that happened in the country in Jamaica, I believe in the 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a couple of relatives who were on that train, and she'd been researching that story for years and finally wrote it.
You know, I want to welcome guest 237 to the chat. You know, I want to piggyback on something you mentioned. Approximately about 2 months ago, I reconnected with a woman that I met at a conference in Cleveland a few years ago. And she shared something similar with me about research she did and found something about her great-great-grandfather who came into this country and also was in Jamaica. And she said to me, now I know why I always have a desire to connect with people from Jamaica. And she said, when I was excited about what I had discovered, and began to share it with my relatives. It's not that they did not know.
Hello?
Yes. I am here. You're
okay,
on.
Okay, but you say it's not that they didn't know.
That they were holding on to some shame about their history. And I think that shame and pride holds a lot of people back without instead of them embracing the legacy that's there and tell their stories to help mold and build up other people. Do you, in your journey, on your journey, have you encountered anything like that where people are holding shame about where they've come from?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, and then when people do tell the story, it is really like a cloud being lifted. But, yes, families have mm-hmm. secrets. There's no
yes.
question about it. And so I would suggest to people that if they're feeling that, there are a number of memoirs that people have written and you see that people talk about it. Actually, I went to a book signing last night
mm-hmm.
and for a young woman who is quite a talented writer named Helena Andrews. And she has a book. It's a little bit of a controversial title, but it's B is the New Black, and I'll let other people fill that word in. But she's a young writer with a really, interesting, original voice. And
mm-hmm.
she writes about women and about her family. And she said, you know, the people who are closest to her were okay, ultimately, with her telling the stories. And, you know, in her story, she's a young woman who's been, she worked for Oprah Magazine. She worked for New York Times. She now has a movie deal with Shonda Rhimes to do her book. So she's a very successful young woman. But
mm-hmm.
she grew up in Catalina, California, and her mother was a very out lesbian 30 years ago when that was
mm-hmm.
not an easy thing to do. And she said, you know, she wrote about that, not her mother wasn't hiding it, but other people wanted to ascribe shame to that.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly found that with my book. When I was writing On Her Own Ground, I was a student, I was in graduate school, and writing a paper about Madam Walker and Aaliyah Walker, my great-grandmother, her daughter, who was a central figure of the Harlem Renaissance, who was, you know, a very, you know, icon of that era, gave great parties, sometimes wild parties, but she was a patron of the arts. My mother was terminally ill at that point. I visited her during Christmas holidays. I went home and I sat at the end of her hospital bed and I said, you know, Mommy, I'm starting to find some things like, you know, Madam Walker's not perfect, you know,
mm.
and other kinds of things. And, you know, and what do I do about that? Because people see Madam Walker as this icon who must be perfect. And my mother, again, very ill from chemotherapy treatments and all that, leaned toward me and she said, tell the truth, baby. It's
oh,
all right
God.
To tell the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
And
yes.
that was the greatest gift I could ever get. So, yes, I've had other people who try to say, oh, I heard this little rumor about your family. It's like, I don't really care because my mother
That's
told
right.
me it was okay.
Exactly. And you know, this is what a lot of our young people encounter now, especially in the union of marriage,
mm-hmm.
because their parents and grandparents hid so much of the struggles and conflicts they went through from them. And they saw life as always on a golden platter. So the first time they encounter a slight conflict, they pack their suitcase and they are out of that relationship instead of resolving the conflict and to say, let's carry on and let's make this work. So telling the truth is the only way to go because it is by your truth that is encouraging someone else to tell their truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and you're right. Every family has these wonderful stories, you know, the how I got over, you know, the grandmother who baked pies so that the kids could go to college, the person, you know, the nephew who was industrious enough to get on the boat or get on the plane and go somewhere and buy the house that others could move into. Everybody's family has those things, and no family gets through without struggles.
All right, I want to take a little commercial break. And, of course, if you're just joining me, my honored, distinguished guest is Mrs. Aaliyah Bundle, and she is the great-granddaughter of Madam T.J. Walker. And we'll be right back with the conversation.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And we also want to remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference coming up in New York City, March the 23rd through the 27th, to take place again in New York City. Visit our fan page on Facebook, Vision Weekend Conference. We are so grateful for your support. So back to my distinguished honored guest, and I want to welcome guest 250 to the chat. And remember, the phone lines are open, 646-915-8166. Just call in if you have a comment or if you have a question for my guest, or if you have been following the Madam CJ story. We want to hear from you, and let's hear about the impact it has on your life. Again, the number to call is 646.
Hello.
You're on. Are you not hearing me?
I do hear you now.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't done anything differently. Well, we just know how virtual things has a mind of their own.
Yes, they do.
yes. So, the board is lighting up. I want to welcome guests 255 and 254 to the show. I want to encourage you to call in and let your voice be heard. So let's go back to your, I want to go back a little bit about your many years in journalism, and as one of the trailblazers, if you may. You have paved the way for many women after you to come aboard and say, yes, it's okay for me to do this. Do you want to share for us, because we are going to go back to your journey now. Do you recall the early years when you just started? What was it like for you being a female in that area?
In working in television news?
Yes.
Well, you know, yes, it was an interesting time. I started as a producer with NBC News in 1976, and women actually at NBC and ABC had just sued the networks because it was clear that young women were hired as secretaries and researchers and stayed in those positions, and young men would get hired as associate producers and would become producers quickly. So I really benefited from that era, and a lot of doors opened up. But, you know, of course there were obstacles and there were glass ceilings. And, you know, and you still see that in terms of who the executive producers are, and you certainly see it in terms of what movies. I mean, I was in journalism, so that's different from movies in Hollywood. But you see that throughout the industry. But, you know, now the top editor at the New York Times is a woman. That was something that would not have happened 30 years ago, so you can see the industry changing. But, definitely there were obstacles. I also was fortunate to have some good mentors who were males and females who helped me navigate that system.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, although we are on Blog Talk and now all these things are available to us so we can utilize and have a voice that is heard all over the world. I think we need to pay homage to people like yourself who have paved the way, set it out, stuck it out, did all that you could to open the doors for females. So I just want to go ahead and thank you too, because if it wasn't for your early works and commitment, I probably would not be on this Blog Talk Radio show today. So I want to give you thanks.
Well, you know, I cannot take any credit because there are so many women who went ahead of me. I do thank you for that, but there, my goodness, there are some incredible people who I see who really, really paved the way, and for that I am grateful to them. So I guess we all pay it forward.
Oh, yes, because we pay it forward, and we are all standing on the shoulders of each other. So as I stand on yours and you have stood on somebody else's, and it goes on and on and on and on. So, you know, as each comes my way.
Right. I think I'm not hearing you now, but I'm sure it'll come back.
Yeah, I
there we go.
Know.
I hear it. Okay. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
All right,
on.
I hear you now.
Check.
We'll just work with it.
Yes. Check your set and see.
I just changed
okay.
One phone, so
okay.
Let's hope this will do it.
All right. And if anything happens and you get disconnected, you just call back in. But you're on the board. I'm seeing you bright and everything. Everything is just fine.
Perfect.
So let us talk about a little bit more about the first book. When you wrote the first book, you were in grad school. And your mom gave you the go-ahead to tell the truth. How did other members of the family embrace that truth?
You know, I'm really very fortunate that I have a small family. So nobody is fighting me. I have two brothers who are just really happy that I'm doing what I'm doing and are really very supportive. And I'm also, you know, a part of a community of writers and Black women historians and other scholars who have been extremely supportive of what I'm doing. So I feel really fortunate. I have not had to fight anybody, and that's a good thing, because this is really a story, a positive story, and I really try to stay on the positive wavelength.
Thank God. Thank
but, you
God.
Know, you mentioned something earlier about people telling their stories, and there's, you know, I have some other dimensions, other kinds of things that I'm interested in, and I, you know, there's been so much talk about the movie and the book, The Help, and, you know, regardless of what you feel about it, some people love it, some people don't like it, one of my responses to that was to create a Facebook page called Helping Ourselves, which I hope some of your listeners will go to, but on that page we have been sharing stories for the last 2 weeks, movies, books, plays, documentaries about Black women who we think need to have movies and books made about them. Mm-hmm. And we, in less than 3 weeks, we have 430 people who have joined the page.
Wonderful.
And everything from Barbara Jordan to Josephine Baker. So these are great stories that need to be told.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you, hope you all will check that page out after the show and tend your support. I tend to go there and do just that after I get off here. So now you are working on, what are you working on now? What's the book you're working on?
Now I am writing a biography of Madam Walker's daughter, Alelia Walker, my namesake, who was the toast of the Harlem Renaissance. Langston Hughes, the poet, called her the joy goddess of Harlem's 1920s.
And she was, obviously, she inherited her mother's homes and estate, and she still was somewhat involved with the company, but that wasn't the center of her life. And she knew all the writers and musicians and actors and painters and sculptors of the Harlem Renaissance, and everybody loved coming to her parties. So I am writing about that really interesting social scene of the 20s, her travels to Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. She visited the Empress of Ethiopia, and she went to Cairo, and she went to Rome to the coronation of the Pope. So this is a woman who had quite a fascinating life during the 1920s.
Wow. And you look back in the 1920s, she had the opportunity of rubbing shoulders with the world's, some of the world's greatest.
That's absolutely right.
She was experiencing an affluent life. So unless you take the time to tell this, people are still holding the back of their minds that back in the 1920s, people was not experiencing an abundant life.
That's right. And you're absolutely right. And that's part of the reason that I tell it. I think that we need to understand that. We need to understand that what we're seeing now is not new, that we have always been achievers. We have always been creators, and we need to tap into those memories and into those examples in order to propel us forward.
That's right, because I look around now, and people tend to just be settling. You know, everybody will gather up, muster up a little energy to begin to complain about what the government is not doing, whether federal or local government. And very rarely are people talking about what am I supposed to be doing, because it is our responsibility to go seek for that rich, abundant life that we need, instead of continuing to point fingers. So I am so thrilled to learn about back in the 1920s when your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, right?
Right, great-great-grandmother.
Yes. I was so fascinated the other day, because when I reached out to you, I was thinking Madam C.J. Walker was your grandmother, but not, you said no. And then you went on to tell me the difference. And
right.
How.
I would be really old.
Yes. You know, and you look back now at how many black people can really now say, well, I've had audience with the Pope. I don't hear of too many.
That's right.
Not saying that there's not. I just have not heard about it. I want to welcome Lillian Brumette to the show. Please call in, guys. I want to encourage you to call in, show some love to my guest, and ask her some questions. I'm sure you have some unanswered question that you you want to get some answer to. And we are going to go back to the autobiography that you are doing now. I want to ask you this question. When you look on the revolution and the rising up again of the natural hair care phenomena, How do you feel about that, knowing that, hey, my great-great-grandmother had something to do with that?
You know, I love the fact that we are thinking about our hair. Sometimes we're a little bit obsessive about it, you know, in our community. And we seem to go through these cycles, you know. And I'm old enough to have been one of the people who lived through the hair wars of the 1960s and 1970s. And so I think that at that point, when, you know, my dad was president of a company that made chemical hair straighteners, Yeah. The Madam Walker Company. My mother worked was vice president of that company. Actually, Madam Walker did not invent the straightening comb, which many people still believe, but she did not invent it. And she did not invent the perm, which is another big myth. So that those things were not, you know, were not true. But I certainly had, you know, a perm when I was in high school, and it was a battle royale with my dad about getting this afro that I wanted. My mother was much more sanguine about it, and she took me down to the Walker Beauty School where the students rolled my hair up on permanent wave rods, and I had a big Angela Davis afro, and then finally my hair grew out, and I had a, you know, I had my own afro. But we went through this, and it's very interesting and sometimes actually a little painful to watch young women now going through what they're going through, feeling that they have to do weaves, feeling that they have to do wear their hair one way or the other, criticizing each other. When whatever you choose to wear should, you know, is your choice, and you should feel good about it. But I think there's a lot of healing that we have to do.
Yes, one on one and personal. You know, for example, I think last night someone wrote on Facebook asking at what age should a young girl begin to wear makeup. And I itch because I say, ooh, I have to have my 2 cents in here. And I wrote back saying, it is so much more important to talk about her skincare because she may never wear makeup, but she should learn how to maintain a healthy skin. And although I like makeup and everything like that, I think we need to begin to embrace our natural beauty and stop looking to the right and to the left and to the magazine and all the commercial and everything to figure out what's beautiful.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more about that and skin care. I mean, I am, you know, really glad that my mother gave me those lessons. And interesting, my mother's parents were divorced when she was growing up. So she lived between with her mother in Indianapolis and with her dad in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And really in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, it was her great aunts, her maiden aunts, who were responsible for her day-to-day care. And she said she did not learn about skin care as a young person except when she was with her mother. But she wanted to make sure that I understood that. So we would steam our faces together. We would use creams. We would do things that she said, you know, you really must take care of your skin. Don't use soap. It dries your skin out. And those lessons really have served me well. And I feel very humble when people say, oh, you have such pretty skin. But I have to say it's because my mom told me to take care of it and because I go get facials and, you know, and I put the moisturizer on and I do those kinds of things. And, you know, and I put on eye makeup and lipstick because I'm now of a certain age and, you know, you have to. You have to brighten your face up a little bit. But all of the heavy makeup and powder and all those things, I only put that on when I'm taking a photo or I'm on TV because it just really is not good for your skin.
Yeah, I want to read what Lillian wrote in the chat room. She said, I only wear makeup in my 18 through 24 age range, though I should, but I'm not a girly girl and gave it up soon after the stage of life. Instead, I do take care of my skin and occasionally put mascara and eyeliner on. Exactly, is the healthy issue. Yes, it's worth it. Yes, and it's a shame that young people really don't see the importance of taking care of them of their faces. And I was smiling when you mentioned about steaming your face, because in Jamaica, I used to use a thing called Pond's varnishing cream and some a tin Vaseline on the lips. But the one thing we did was to put some aloe on the face and to boil some water and put a towel over the thing to let the steam come up on the face. Isn't that something? nothing is new. It doesn't
nothing
matter where you are. And listen, little did I know I was getting a spa treatment.
Right. All those things people pay $100 for, you can do right at home.
You can do it right at home. Listen, guess 273-254-255-265-290-299. And Lillian Burmett, please call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And show my honored guest some love. If you have any special question for her, I want you to show her some love just like no other listeners could. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. So when will the biography be finished?
Should be finished in a couple of months. And I absolutely will give you a heads up when it's time for it to come out. It'll be all over my Facebook page, but I'm going to give you a personal, you know, a personal notice of it. Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. I would, you know, we'd love to have you back to talk about it and to share. And is there any other book on the drawing board? Because I know there are many, 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 many.
Well, you know what, after I do this book, I think that I am not really going to do another really comprehensive historical biography because they really take a long time, especially when you're writing about people who about whom other people have not really written a book. It's just a big research slog that takes years, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do another biography like that, but I have all of these other ideas, things that are, like you're doing, motivational kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Another of the Facebook pages that I recently started is called Black Hair Historian, so
mm-hmm.
people can check that out as well. And I'm finding a lot of interest in that because I have spent a lot of time doing research about African American women and hair in America and all over the world, and so I'm finding that people are interested in that topic. So there are other kinds of things, but I do think the next phase of my life after this book, I do a lot of public speaking, but I want to shift my focus a little bit away from so much on Madam Walker and look more at Aaliyah Walker, at the Harlem Renaissance, at some of the other fascinating people. And while I may not write books about them, I certainly do blogging on my website on AaliyahBundles.com. So I love telling stories, and I'll continue to do that.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. So do you get a lot of calls for maybe young women who are looking to be mentored by you?
Yes, I do. You know, and it's a very gratifying thing, you know, to have worked in television, and I can see now on the air, there are a few young people who I know that I was involved in their, you know, their early days. I take no real credit for it, but I look at people like Suzanne Malveaux, who is on CNN, who I knew when she was in college. Another young woman, Lindsay Davis, who's now on the air at ABC. A young man named Shamari Stone, who is now on the air in Washington, D.C. on the NBC station. And I see young people, you know, throughout the industry, and I feel as if it was, I enjoyed having a relationship with them, and I'm loving watching them blossom.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it is so important for us to continue to add value where we can, because each and every one of us has an opportunity to add value to somebody else's life and to invest in that relationship, because people are oftentimes, some people are looking that, oh, I was not in that relationship long enough. I think the first day we enter into a relationship, we ought to begin to add value and to invest as much as we can, because we truly do not know how long we will be in that position for. So if you're waiting for a lengthy time, you might never get the opportunity to invest in somebody else's life.
Oh, that's absolutely right. That, you know, we really have to sort of walk our walk every day so that we are doing the best that we can. And, you know, and sometimes there are going to be moments and people who, you know, aren't your friend, and you have to figure out how to deal with that too. I mean, I think one of the things that I've learned about studying Madam Walker's life is the ability to overcome obstacles and the ability to have an impact on people. Just, I'm actually going to post a new blog post today because on August 31st, today's date, 1917, Madam Walker had her first convention of Walker sales agents in Philadelphia. 200 black women came from all over the country to learn about sales and management and marketing. And at that convention, she was really grooming this workforce and training them, doing lifelong learning. She wanted to, not just for people to sell products, but for them to grow and learn and develop and be empowered. And at the convention, she said to the women, I want you to understand your first duty is to humanity. I want others to look at us and realize that as Walker agents, we care not just about ourselves, but about others. So I take that to heart, that that was really a message that she was giving to other women. And she also said, you know, there were people who criticized her when she first started out. She said people didn't believe in her, and sometimes it was the people closest to her, her family members. When she started her company in Denver in 1906, right after she'd married her third husband, Charles Joseph Walker, she said, my friend said I wouldn't make train fare from one town to the next. And they were my biggest doubters, but I had to move forward and not doubt. So you mm-hmm. have to, I think mm-hmm. you have to mm-hmm. push yourself forward, but also to help other people.
Yes, I didn't even know about that special thing for today. So if it's okay with you, I want us to spend a little time on expanding on that. But a question I want to ask you, because I know that I am encountering some of that into my close family, and I know if you live long enough in this world, there are many haters that will rise up around the work that you're doing, around the torch that you decide to hold high.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, when I realized what was happening in my close family, I said, wow, it's like they say something hit you from the blind side. And I stumbled for a little bit. But then the Holy Spirit said to me, you are called for a time, and you shall not crumble.
That's
and
right.
I brace myself, and I begin to stand tall. And I will continue to tell the story of my life, because if there is any shame to be had, I should be the one. And I'm not holding any shame. So
that's right. You are so right.
How do you deal with it? Because I am sure you encounter some of this.
Yes, you know, absolutely. And as I say, you know, sometimes people think they will say something to you and that you're supposed to step back or that you're going to be embarrassed by something. You know, no one can embarrass you. If you are living your life with as much integrity as you can, then there's really nothing that can come in your way. I mean, you just have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to push forward and be good to other people. I mean, and there are going to be people who, you know, if you live long enough, there's somebody who's not going to like you. That's just the way it is.
So listen, as long as you open your front door and step outside, if you're inside and don't come out unless you don't have any pets or everything, you know, but somebody's not going to like you. Because as we engage in this conversation this morning, you know, some people, when you ask them about the Madam C.J. Walker story, and the first thing that comes to their minds is about the hair care. But
right.
Then as I listen to you, there is so much more richness to who this phenomenal woman was.
Absolutely. And the hair care piece is important. It's what they, you know, it's what people paid attention to. But mm-hmm. she was a pioneer of this industry, along with people like Elizabeth Arden and Helena Rubinstein. Those are names that we still know. But she, and I think in some ways she saw that she could tap into women. She was a very poor woman growing up. She was an orphan at 7. She was married at 14. She had a child at 17. Her husband died, first husband died when she was 20. She had no formal education. But she pulled herself up with the help of other women in her church mm-hmm. and other club women who were involved in social welfare and who took care of her daughter. And she saw that they helped her pave a way, and she used that to move herself forward. So it, she understood women, and hair care products were the way that she made money, but she really parlayed that and made herself much more multidimensional. And I think, you know, if she had, yes, she became a millionaire. That's a fabulous thing. But if she had only made money and not become a political activist and a philanthropist and a patron of the arts, I wouldn't be that interested in her. And
exactly.
I love the fact that she was more multidimensional. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we get past the, you know, the hot comb, because we get fixated on this little thing that isn't even true
and
don't look at what a complex person she was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we refuse to dissect what's in front of us and just categorize all the good that's in there, because we just keep looking at the bundle that's in front of us instead of taking it apart. Hey, I didn't know this and I didn't know that. And I'm so honored to have you on this morning and really educating my listeners about this, because they can say, I heard it from Mrs. Aaliyah Bundles. It's
That's
not
right.
what somebody else says. And if she grew up in the family and she's saying what is accurate, that is what I'm going by. Guys, I want to remind you, the phone lines are open. 646-915-8166. Let's hear from you. Anyone in the chat room or on the phones or on your computer listening, have you experienced the products, or do you know of anybody who experienced the products back in the day, way back when? Have you heard stories around your dining table growing up about what this amazing lady did? This is your opportunity to share it with her great-great-granddaughter.
You know, when you ask those questions about the products, one of the things that I love is whenever I'm doing public speaking, someone will say, oh, my grandmother, my aunt, my sister went to the Walker School in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Now those people are dying, but they, you know,
yeah.
people would come up and say that, or they have a diploma from Lelia College. They called the beauty school Lelia College, named after Lelia Walker. And they say, my grandmother did hair. She might have had a shop, or she did hair in the basement, and then she used the money to invest in real estate, and then she became a real estate agent. So I love how people say this, you know, this hair care industry allowed them to do other things as well.
Right. And I listen to you, and I'm thinking, wow. Madam CJ knew how to network. You know, in today's time, they say our network can tell our net worth.
And
your great-great-grandmother knew how to utilize that.
Absolutely. She did. She knew everybody she needed to know. And sometimes when she first started out, people really didn't know who she was, and sometimes they weren't going to pay attention to her. But people like Booker T. Washington or W.B. Du Bois or Ida B. Wells Barnett, Mary McLeod Bethune, A. Philip Randolph, all of these famous names that we know, Marcus Garvey, eventually she met all of them, entertained them in her home. But when she first started out, some of them didn't think she was important. And there's a really one of my favorite stories with Booker T. Washington. He was the most powerful black man in America. He had founded Tuskegee Institute. His wife was president of the National Association of Colored Women. They were a real power couple of the day. Mm-hmm. And Madam Walker wanted his endorsement, and he was not really trying to hear what she was saying. And she met him, and he dismissed her. And then in 1912, she turned up at this big convention that he was hosting, the National Negro Business League, and asked to speak. And he ignored her request, and she waited another day. And then one of her friends stood up and said, "We should hear from Madam Walker." And he ignored that request, really dismissed her again. And on the final day of the convention, she stood up at her seat, and she said, "Surely you're not going to shut the door in my face. I'm a woman who came from the cotton fields of the South. From there I was promoted to the washtub. From there I was promoted to the kitchen. And from there I promoted myself. I promoted myself into the business of manufacturing hair goods and preparations, and I have built my own factory on my own ground." The next year he invited her back as a keynote speaker. And by the time he died 3 years later, they were associates and friends with mutual respect. But she had to stand up for herself.
Oh, you brought tears. Tears just came to my eyes. Because,
but these are the stories that, like you say, these are the things that we must know about our history.
Exactly. And these are the stories we must know, that we continue and not give up. You know, it's a few months ago, I was speaking with a friend of mine who relocated to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was living in Connecticut, he has an extremely prominent position. And moving to Florida, of course, he went and everything about this position here. However, doors weren't readily being opened to him. And he was a bit taken back. And he was saying to me the other day, he said, some of the same people who would not embrace and endorse and receive me 3 years ago, they are now reaching out to me.
Yes.
And I said to him, I kind of detect some resentment in your voice. He said, rightfully so. I said, no, you ought to look at it as a good thing. Because the people, I said, how long did it take you to build the reputation you left Connecticut with?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you don't need to answer me. Just jot it on your paper so you can review it. And I said, the people wanted to make sure that you were there for the long haul. They want to begin to love you, respect you, and trust you. So now they know you for themselves, and now they can begin to do business with you. He says, you never seems to amaze me. He says, I never saw it that way. And it's the persistence in Madam CJ of going. She did not get offended. She kept going. She kept going. She kept going. And she know there will be a time when it's convenient, when she can respectfully get her say. And she did so.
You are a wise woman, and you give me chills. You are speaking some serious truth.
My God, my God. I tell you, there's so much out there for us to embrace and to just support. And know that what we are going through now as women especially is not new. But we have to seek to find the truths that are there for us to hold on to and affirm each day and said, hey, if Madam CJ can do it, so can I.
That's
if she
right.
went through all of that, hey, now I have train, I have car, I have airplane, I have everything. What reasons have I not to be investing in me?
And that is the key, investing in me. Every day when you get up.
Yes, because I think it was yesterday I was going through my day's task, and I felt moved to write a little note about people investing in the relationship with themselves.
Mm.
Because there are so many people who are serving others, doing for others. They do for the community. They do for this. They do for that. They do for that. And the one person that gets neglected is themselves.
That's right.
And until we are experiencing a surplus and an overflow, we are not in a position to be giving our best.
And you have to take a few minutes for yourself every day. And you're right, so many people really don't do that, and they just think they can, you know, keep giving and giving. But you have to replenish yourself. There's no question.
When I looked on your picture, and I remember we talking about our ages and everything, I said, wow, I would never think she was that age.
Mm-hmm.
How do you maintain you? How do you remain so fresh and elegant and beautiful and charming? And
you're so sweet.
And I think healthy, too. I can see health exuding from you. How do you do?
You know, and I went to my trainers this morning and lifted weights right before we began talking. So I do that once a week. And I try to jog or do a little stationary bicycle every day. I don't always do it, but I try.
Yeah.
The skin care is very important. Healthy eating, though I cheat sometimes too. But I think one of the other important things that I learned from my mother, my parents used to both talk about healthy mental hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
So it is physical, it is diet, it is educating yourself, but it's mental hygiene, and that is important. You know, we all have challenges, and we all have negative thoughts and obstacles in our way, but we have to find ways to be positive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I am an optimist. I mean, I think maybe that is part of it.
Mm-hmm. Does spirituality play any role in your life?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I don't talk about that so much with other people because it is. For me, it's a very private thing, but absolutely, we mm-hmm. could not get through this without a higher power. So,
that's right.
So very
that's right.
True.
That's right. That's right. You know, because people look at me and I keep going, and when I tell them my age, they say, "What?" And I said, you know, if it was not for my spiritual health and awareness, I am doing better now where the exercising and everything is concerned. It's one step at a time. I am definitely eating so, so much better now. And it's about 2 months ago, or maybe 3 months ago, I taught myself to ride a bicycle in the park. I didn't know how to ride a bicycle. I was poor growing up in Jamaica. I didn't have any bikes, and plus we were living so high up on the hill with the trails, we couldn't ride any bike even if we had one.
Right.
So I invested in a bike, and I went with my helmet in the park, and I rode. I fell a couple of times, and when I began pedaling, even the little kids took time to applaud me.
Ah, that's great.
You know, a woman that I met maybe 12 years ago, when I put it on Facebook that I learned to ride the bike, she wrote back and said, you know, from the first day I met you, I knew tenacity was one of the strengths that you possess. So congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Bundles, is there anything that you was hoping I would have asked you that I did not, that you would like to shed some light on?
I am so delighted with our conversation. I have loved the spirit of our conversation. The only thing I would say is just would encourage people to visit our website pages, AleliaBundles.com, MadamCJWalker.com, MadamWalkerFamilyArchives.wordpress.com, and I can send those to you, and you can share them with the folks on your Facebook page. But I've had a great time.
And if, so you are probably not on in the chat room because you could have typed it in there, but you're not on. So that's okay. So, but before we dismiss you, I know we had agreed for you staying on the first hour. We are a little bit over. But before you go, I want to be respectful of that. Before you go, I would like for you to give us a checklist that we can embrace to telling our stories. If you would, give us a checklist.
Absolutely. I think the very first thing is to write down a list of all the living relatives and make sure that you're talking with them. Today it's very easy to videotape them or audiotape them. Get as many stories as you can. Then I would say if you don't want to pay the membership to Ancestry.com, go to your public library where usually you can log on and you begin to find information about family members. Check out the genealogy room at the local library, at the main branch of the local library, and they also will direct you to old newspapers and newspapers that go back. Black newspapers are available as early as 1892, the Afro-American. And you begin to fill in the blanks about the things you don't know, and you can double-check the stories. And then I would say buy a couple of books about writing memoir and biography. Your local bookstore usually has some kind of writing club, and those are ways to really get started.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm getting real greedy.
That's all right. I've got time.
Oh, okay. As you look over the research from your great-great-grandmother and even your mother and your grandmother, what are some insights you gather from their entrepreneurial path that you think we as now entrepreneurs can tap into or just embrace?
Yeah, absolutely. I think of the things that I gleaned from Madam Walker's life, she would say the very first thing is to have a product or a service that is of high quality. And that's nothing beats that. If you have to have confidence in what you're doing, you also have to promote yourself. And that is what she did. And she did it by developing relationships with people, by being positive with people, by having integrity about what she did, also by giving back to people and by empowering them, making sure that she was a part of the community. So those things were very important. And so it was making sure, and also another key part is lifelong learning and training your workforce, and also self-improvement. She knew that she did not have a lot of formal education. With our school systems the way they are now, many of us don't get the public school education that, for instance, that I was fortunate to get. So today some of our schools are just not in good shape. So people have to supplement what they learn. Read books, read the newspaper, be aware of current events. She always knew what was going on. But again, she was also teaching herself. One of my favorite stories of her is her attorney wrote her a letter when she was on the road, and he said, the next time you are back in the office in Indianapolis, we have to go to the bank because you have to sign a new signature card because your handwriting has improved so much that the bank doesn't recognize your signature. One of her secretaries who lived down the street from me when I was growing up, who had started working for her in 1916, so that lets you know how old this lady was, she said that when Madam Walker was in the office, if they were, and she traveled most of the time, but if she was in the office, they would read the newspaper together every morning. And if somebody in the office, one of the secretaries or clerks, didn't understand a word, they would look up the word together in the dictionary and learn something new. So I think that we get embarrassed about not knowing something, and we get annoyed with people who don't know things. And so we have to help others and help them learn, and we also have to realize that there's much that we can continue to learn.
That's right. Every day is an opportunity for us to learn. We really don't have to get into a formal classroom because life is a classroom.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Life is the classroom.
You know, and there's so much that we can learn, but some people decide that we are just not going to learn. People say, oh, I'm too old for that. No, As long as you are breathing God's oxygen, you can keep learning something.
Well, or people say, I don't have time to read the newspaper, or I don't have time to do this. And no, it may be true that at the beginning of your day, you're rushing off to work, or the end of the day, you're cooking dinner or something. But you can find ways. You can log on to a newspaper website. And I just think we have to be educated citizens. I think it's very difficult to participate as a full citizen if you don't have some idea of what's going on in the country, of what's going on with political things, you know, not just watching Housewives of L.A. or something. I mean, we have to take our time and spend our time with things that also educate us.
Exactly, because it's what you are putting on the inside of you, and we got to be more selective as to what we ingest, just as we do what we digest, because they say garbage in, it's garbage out. Listen, guys, this is your last opportunity to call in. I want to give them a little bit more opportunity to call in, Mrs. Bundles, if it's okay with you.
That's fine.
The number is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guest 412 to the chat. I can't believe you guys are so quiet today. So I want to take another little commercial break. And then, hopefully, by the time that is ended, you will develop the courage to dial 646-915-8166.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, I want to invite you to come back on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. You know, Sundays we do life issues or any reinventing your life, overcoming or embracing adversities. And my guest this week is an acupuncturist, lady who went back to school late in her life. We were talking about life is a classroom, and she's the owner of Lotus Flower Acupuncture Center here in Connecticut, Elisa Beccacara, and she's coming on to share her story with us. So please join us on Sunday evening to listen to Elise's story. I tell you, I was suffering with my back last week, and I went in for a consultation and treatment with her, and I'm telling you, I am totally healed, and I am back to new. So I want to encourage you to come in and listen to the conversation with us on this Sunday evening. Now I'm on with Mrs. Elia Bundles, who is the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, who is taking such pride in telling her great-great-grandmother's story and sharing with us the investment that she made in our life, not just her great-grandmother, but for like three or four generations. She's like the fourth generation now who is investing in our lives. And what a legacy. What a legacy to be a part of, and what pride it is to be telling this story. So, Lillian, let me hear from you. Guest 412, 265, 255. Let me hear from you guys. Any questions from you, from the show? Okay, so back with you, Mrs. Bundles.
Mm-hmm.
So So I guess I've been begging. I guess I'm not begging enough. No one.
Well, maybe they'll pose some questions later, and we'll hear from them.
Oh well, let us hope so. So you discussed about kind of turning the path after you finished the memoir and all of that. Because of the intensity of the research, you're not sure that you'll be writing any more memoirs. But what can we look forward to in the future? You think there might be some movies somewhere coming?
Yes. I'm actually working on that. It's not something that I can talk about in detail right now.
No.
Hollywood is just strange. But absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Ooh, and you know, two different movies. So we've got some really interesting things in the works.
There's
stories that need
praying.
To be told.
Yes, we are going to be praying.
We are going
to be praying that everything will come forth as you want it to be and that there'll be no hindrances and struggles. Is that everything will just flow.
Thank you.
Again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. If you are just joining the chat, my honored guest is Mrs. Aaliyah Bundles, who is the great-great-granddaughter of Mara C.J. Walker. All right, so where do we go from here? Anything else you would like to share?
You know, I think I would just close with some words from Madam Walker, and she
yes.
said that people would always ask her the secret to her success, and she would say to them, there is no royal flower-strewn path to success, and if there is, I have not found it, for whatever success I have attained has been the result of much hard work and many sleepless nights. I got my start by giving myself a start. So don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. You have to get up and make them for yourself. So that's what I remember when I think about her.
Powerful. Powerful. Action. How often we talk about taking action because, you know, one of the things, and I'm not hitting religion or anything, but one of the things that I find out stand in the way of people taking action and really accomplishing their success is organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that. I got to go out there and take action.
That's
because
it.
God already created for us. The universe is faithful in giving us what our desires are. And we just have to go there. I want to thank you so much for sharing that piece of knowledge. And if you would please, again, give your links out.
I just posted the links on your page, but I didn't.
Okay.
I actually did not know where the talk radio page was, so I didn't post it there.
Oh.
But I posted it on your personal
on my
website
face.
Page.
Okay, wonderful.
And then if you want to give me offline, give me some other links. I'll put it up. But in the meantime, it's aaliyahbundles.com, A-L-E-L-I-A, bundles.com.
I'm typing it, and I type slowly.
Okay, so A-L-E-L-I-A,
bundles.com. Okay, that's one.
Right,
one
and if you go there, that will show you links to all the other ones. You can just click on, and that's Madam CJ, Madam with no E, M-A-D-A-M, C-J.
M-A-D-A-M, C-J.
Walker.
W-A-L-K-E-R.
Right.
.com.
.com. So those two pages have
guys.
Links to everything else.
All right. So there's two links there in the chat room for you guys to go and share it with others. And the Facebook page and the blogs, she mentioned, visit them. And and lend your support there. I encourage you, for those of you who were coming on the show for the first time today, I still have another 40 minutes to go, and I think I'm going to spend that just talking about the Vision Conference that's coming up and some of the speakers and what we're going to be talking about. So I want to encourage you to visit AlilaBundles.com, MadamCJWalker.com, visit her blog. She talks about the different pages that she have on Facebook. But this is one connection that you want to maintain because it will certainly enrich your lives. This time that I've spent with her this morning has enriched my life, and this is one connection that I will continue. So I'll give you an opportunity for a closing thought if you have one, and I want to show gratitude and respect and love and appreciation to you for investing in my journey and mission this morning, Mrs. Bundles.
Well, I am just blown away by your generosity and by the wisdom that you've shared. It's really been my pleasure to be a part of the show. I am looking forward to us staying in touch with each other and continuing to learn.
Yes.
So I'm delighted about that.
Thank you so very much, and I will keep you informed about the Vision Weekend Conference, and possibly you can share that with some of your community folks and all of that. So, again, keep doing what you're doing. And we know that you are on the right path and that you're helping to enhance many lives. I just pray for your continued health and success on the journey of telling Madam C.J. Walker's story and keeping her legacy alive.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, what a rich story that Mrs. Bundles shared with us. And I am sure you, as much as I, we can look around us and see that there is so much we have to be thankful for and to share to help others. And a lot of times we are to stay on anything else. Let me know is up. In. It is important that you keep doing that. And that's why we created the Vision Weekend Conference. There are lots of wonderful conferences taking place out there, but this one is created to mentor and to support entrepreneurs and small business people. One of the other things I want you to focus on is to know the questions of influence. You know, they say you must ask the right questions in order to get the right answers. And as entrepreneurs, we keep going around a lot of times chasing our shadows. And we don't have all these things organized. So we want you to come to the conference with having the right questions that will allow you to get the answers of influence. You should generally choose friends who are going in the same direction you are and who want to obtain the same things you do, so you can reinforce one another in light of this truth. So, when we are on the same path and we are going forward, you will encourage me, I will encourage you. You know, they say everybody needs a shoulder to cry on. I'll be allowing you to use my shoulder. You will use my shoulder. And we will encourage each other. And we will shake out of it and we'll say, well, now what next? What next? So it is very important. The other thing you want to know is that vision wakes up opposition. People of vision have found that the minute they decide to fulfill their dreams, all their enemies seem to wake up. Again, as long as you are not doing anything about your vision, no one will bother you and no one will care.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change.